Would you please open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 13. I would like this morning, if we could go for a little time until that upper room where our Lord delivered His last message to His disciples. The last night He was with them. When we think of the last words of anyone, they have a tremendous bearing upon us. Now then, I don't want to go into this sermon. The Holy Spirit of God takes up 5 chapters to tell us what He told them on that last night. But I want you to come with me to this morning into that upper room and just behold the conditions a little in there, and especially of the disciples. The teaching of those 5 chapters would take a lot of time. Now then, in Luke's Gospel, it's good to read any story in the 4 Gospels to get a true picture of what is taking place. And in the Gospel of Luke, he tells us very clearly there, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles were with him. We read how he instituted the Lord's Supper. And then Luke tells us something more. You remember Luke was not one of the eyewitnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as he tells us in the 1st chapter of his Gospel, he investigated all things from their origin. And no doubt the disciples who were eyewitnesses and who wrote, they never told us what had happened, but they had told Luke there was a strife amongst them. There was a strife amongst them. Who would be the greatest? Now then, it's a very sad thing. And when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ being together with those 12 men, and He was about to leave them, and this was the last opportunity He would have with them, and He was sending them forth into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, and there was a strife amongst them. Now then, this wasn't the first time. We read when He came back from Caesarea Philippi, pardon me if I say words a little bit Spanish, I can't remember too well. And when He came back from there to Capernaum, he was in Peter's home. That strife was still there. On the way, they had been discussing who would be the greatest, and that was when He took that little child that night and put him in the midst of them. And now He was about to depart, and still that strife was among these disciples. Who would be the greatest? Now then, I just want to briefly go through these few chapters and see a little of what happened that night. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world into the Father, having loved His own who are in the world, He loved them unto the end. That's an amazing thing. He loved them unto the end. And now everything's got to be put right before He can go. Everything must be put right. The supper being ended, well, the Revised Version tells us it was during the supper. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's sons, to betray him. Judas, the devil had put it in his heart. We'll see a little bit later, the devil entered into it. So we need to be very careful when the devil puts an idea into our heart, that we don't meditate upon it and we get rid of it very, very quickly. The devil had put it into his heart. He can put many things into your heart and mine too. He had put this striving in amongst them. He was trying to destroy the work of the Lord. Later on we read that the devil entered into Judas. What a sad thing that was. Now then, here they were. Verse 4, and he rises from supper and layeth aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Verse 8, and Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Now then, what was happening here? The Lord had sent them, two of them, Peter and John, and he told them to follow this man and enter into that house and there to make ready. There was a bowl there. There was that vessel full of water. And as the custom was there, after one had been out all day, and he come in, there was always a servant to wash your feet. Now then, the good man of the house, I guess he didn't think for one moment that there wouldn't be one of the disciples ready there to do that job. But we see there was a rush to the table. John, a very quick young man, got on one side of the Lord, and it seems to me that Judas got on the other side. Peter was a bit older, got right down at the bottom. They didn't, none of them wanted to do the job of washing one another's feet. And the Lord rises up, takes off his raiment. Oh, these men wanted to be the greatest. Who would do the humble job? Who would do it? They wanted to be the greatest men. And he goes around and he starts to wash their feet. Now, this was a practical lesson. He had told them back when they were back in Capernaum, that who would ever be the greatest, let him be as that child. And now he could tell them, if I, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, so ought ye to wash one another's feet. And he comes to Peter, and Peter puts his feet under the chair. There was a tense spirit in that gathering, a very tense spirit. Now then, the Lord did that job. He humbled them all, we might say, before him, in showing them the humble spirit. There's one thing, when we go into the Acts of the Apostles and write on through the epistles, we never read again of any one of them wanting to be great. Never again do we read of it. What a lesson he taught them that day, in such a practical way. I'm afraid a lot of us get boiling water and burn their feet. Now then, he goes on a little bit more. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Now then, you can see the tenseness that was in that meeting. They were all just the 13 of them there were in that meeting. He had just taught them a lesson on humility in such a gracious way that only our Lord could do it. Now we see he was troubled in his spirit. Troubled. And what does he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. The Lord loved Judas. The Lord never created Judas to damn him. The Lord loved him. But he knew what he was. And he always knew what he was. But now when it comes to show him out, he was troubled in his spirit. The disciples could see it in his face. He was troubled in his spirit. They were on edge too. And this put them more on edge. One of you shall betray me. We know the story. I won't repeat it. Verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. First of all, we see that Satan had put it in his heart. And now Satan entered into him. And when Satan enters into one of us, what a terrible mess he can make. What a terrible mess he can make. And this was the first one now. And the Lord said to him, "What you do, do quick." And then he went immediately out. And it was night. It was night. Now, how long this Passover supper had gone on, I don't know. But now it was night. Now we'll go down a little further. Verse 36. And Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" And Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." I'm sure that everything was very, very troubled now. We read in another gospel, "And likewise said also all the other disciples." We're in that upper room. We're seeing just what's happening there now. He washes their feet. The Lord is troubled in his spirit. Judas goes out. And Peter says, "I'm ready to follow you now." He says, "Peter, this very night you're going to deny me thrice." Chapter 14 begins. "Let not your heart be troubled." The Lord could see what was in their faces there right then. He could see how they were feeling. He knew everything, praise God. But he was troubled in his spirit. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now we'll go on a little bit further. Let us come to verse 5, chapter 14. "And Thomas said unto him, We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Now then the Lord was telling them that he was going. "I go to prepare a place for you," he told them. "I go to prepare a place for you. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." And there Thomas turns around and he says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Now then, we get another disciple that comes onto the scene. We see this tenseness. We see their hearts troubled in this place. Philip said unto the Lord, Philip, he comes out now. All this teaching that the Lord was giving them before he went, it was troubling them. The spirit was tense in the place. And Philip says unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." You know, there's often things I don't understand. Let us be like Philip and willing to ask him. "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip?" You don't hear many words of Philip. "Hast I been so long with me, and thou knowest me not, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father?" Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works," says. Now then he goes on, and he tells them many other things. continuing on to try and prove to them that he and his father was one. And he was about to leave them. In that day, verse 20, in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And now we get one of the other disciples, and I don't think we've ever had a word out of him before. He's greatly puzzled. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now he's right there again in this upper room. And he's seeking to bring them to the point that he can leave them. Verse 27. Peace. Now their hearts were troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Evidently now they had got to the stage that they were not only troubled, but they were afraid. And it could be seen, that tense spirit in that upper room. Ye have known that I have said, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice. So many times he says here, if ye love me, if ye love me. There's that little word, if there. If ye love me. Because I say, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass ye might believe. Hereafter I shall not talk much with you. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Praise God, he never ever had anything in him. He has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Arise, let us go hence. Now then, how far they went, I don't know. Whether they just all stood up or what it was. But there they were in that upper room. All the tenseness and everything that had come to pass there. And he says, arise, let us go hence. And then he continues on teaching her. Where it was, I don't know. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now then, when he said this to them, he goes on then and he gives them great teaching of how necessary it was for them to abide in him. And he said that he wanted them to bear much fruit. And he told them to the only way they could ever bear fruit was to abide in him. Verse 16 he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go forth, ye should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, I will give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now I think it's three times we get this in these words, that the Lord has said, I command you, that ye love one another. They were fighting and squabbling amongst themselves. However could he leave them? Now then we'll come to verse 16. Chapter 16, pardon me. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They were offended. All of these things was playing on that scene in that upper room. The wonderful teaching that the Master was giving them. And this was the last time. Now then, in verse 6, But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Sorrow hath filled your heart. May we understand, brethren, a little of what it cost our Lord to go to that cross of Calvary. Of what it cost him to deal with human beings like you and I. Even these, though these were the 12, or now the 11 only, which had followed him and had heard his teaching, and yet there was a strife among them. Who should be the greatest? They were full of fear. Now then, let's go a little bit further. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take away from you. They couldn't understand it. They asked him again to tell them about it. And he goes on now and he speaks to them clearly. And in verse 29 he says, and the disciples said unto him, lo, now thou speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus said unto them, do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? It's a question. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now then, we see this scene in that upper room going on little by little until this moment. Now when they had said that they were sure and believed that he was the Son of God, we read in verse chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. We have no time to dwell on that wonderful prayer. But it's all in this scene from chapter 13 on. And he prays there for them. And they listen. They listen. And what was his prayer? That they might be one as we are one. No striving, no fighting among them. No one thinking that he should be the greatest. But they might be one. We're all different one from another. Very, very different. I always remember the words of our brother Albert Obenholzer was preaching in Kobeha. And he was preaching on the family of God. And he said a thing there that I've never forgotten. He said, you know, you can choose your sweetheart. You can choose this and you can choose that. But you can't choose your brethren. Your brothers and sisters, you can't choose them. They're born into the family. And we are told to love them. To love one another. Now then, the Lord goes on in that wonderful prayer. And when we come to chapter 18, and with this I finish. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron. Now all this had taken place between that large upper room and Kedron. If you've been to Jerusalem, no doubt you've seen these places. The upper room's still there. There's the brook Kedron, and there's Gethsemane, just the other side. He went forth. His preaching, his teaching with them had finished. This trouble that was amongst them, he could now leave them. All was fixed up. All was put in order. They could say, "We know who you are. We know." And he could lift up his hands to heaven and pray for them. Pray for them. This is upper room ministry, brethren. We're not going into the details of that sermon, but I'm trying to bring before you the scene that the Lord was in. He's with us today. "I command you," he says, "that ye love one another. I command you. If ye love me," so many times he said in these five chapters, "if ye love me." If ye love me. There's a big if there. "And if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments," he said. "And the new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And as I said before, in the rest of the New Testament, although they were failing men, as you and I are, we see this manifested in them. Never again do we hear of that strife who should be the greatest. May the Lord help us just to think of that last night he was with them. To remember all the things that took place. All the instruction and the wonderful works that the words that he spoke unto them. And they were his last words. That they may be one. May the Lord help us and be with us for his name's sake.